Okay, thank you everybody for joining the May 1st use case realization call. And realize today is May 1, so a lot of people from Europe may not be joining. we have a special guest speaker, Pavel, talking about the ANA Graph Visualizer today. And I was just talking to Sue about the architecture flow. Let me see. So I think maybe we'll start with that as people join. Last time we kind of ended on talking about the pre-onboarding and boarding architecture flow. We've added a few things to that. So I think, yeah, go ahead.
Can you update the slides?
Update the slides, which, yeah. Oh yeah, we talked about the PNF and VNF. I need to update that. I'm just going through. And I think I said for VNFs, you were going to add something here, right? Need to do that. And then... PNF onboarding. Yeah, go ahead, Sue.
Yeah, all the slides, I think we discussed it last
right,
time.
And right,
the update on
yes, right. Yes, right. Right. Now it's refreshing my memory as I read through some of these. So let me make a note myself to update this. So, okay. Okay, added a few words here. I added your diagram here. I took the page there from our page, and I added some text there. Okay, I see Melanie joined. Thanks for joining. So we're just, while Zoo's on the call, we're just starting off with a quick discussion of the, while we're waiting for people to join, a quick discussion of what we talked about last time with the PNF onboarding, pre-onboarding flow. Okay, flow description. All right, Okay, Zoo, did you have more comments, you said?
No, it's just the, I think you need to update
the Update the pictures, yeah, I'll update it, yeah, okay, great. We do that later today. All right, so let's see, I see a few people have joined in the meantime. Okay, Floyd and Jimmy, Melanie. Okay, all right, so let's see, there should be a link to this flow that we just went over if you're interested in finding out more. I've been working with the architecture team with lots of other people to define these various flows because I was working, Zoo, myself, and Michaela have been working on the pre-onboarding and boarding flow. We volunteered to do the flow with SDC and I showed it very briefly at the SDC team meeting this week as well, and we'll be going over that in more detail. So you can read basically about kind of what happens in onboarding and pre-onboarding, what a package looks like, the stuff inside a package and stuff that SDC adds to the package. And Zoo put together a really nice diagram of an example of what a package might look like with directories and sample files and stuff. And then we created a flow showing a UML ladder diagram of those steps. Drew a picture of what happens in VNF SDK and the various steps that it does to validate a package. And then steps that things that SDC adds, and then post conditions. Okay. So some big news that happened in the past week: the El Alto Cadence release proposal was accepted, and so that means that R5 will be a maintenance release. So the vote was taken last week, and it was finalized. and it was announced on Monday. So on Monday, Ala at the use case call was talking about the ramifications of what that means to the release and the use cases moving forward. So so there'll be more discussion of that at the TSC call tomorrow. So if you're interested in that, it's happening tomorrow. You can look at it in the ONAP calendar. So the between June and end of August, R5 will be a technical debt reduction release, and every four releases thereafter. So I guess will be the next A, B, C, E, F, G, H. Yeah, and I will be the next release after that, where there'll also be a technical debt reduction release. I asked at the call if, does that mean that things like modeling would stop, or where we're defining things that don't necessarily have code impact. so I would expect things that need to be worked in the background, or communication, for example, the ANI schema change that we've been looking to make, or where we're talking about use case service definition for 5G RANs, those sorts of things I would expect to continue, but it's not mentioned here, so I'm going to raise that on the TSC call tomorrow. But anyway, so the every four releases, El Alto being the first one, so they're paving new ground to have these releases be technical and debt reduction releases, refactoring code, vulnerabilities, and test coverage, test automation, deployment, precision, documentation. This also gives a little bit more time for planning the next release, Frankfurt, which will follow the traditional waterfall model to develop features, but that also means that Frankfurt is still a standard sized content release, so we may need to reevaluate what goes into Frankfurt. So, okay, any questions on that? Okay, we've been talking about this for some number of weeks, and if you've been attending various use case calls, I mean, this is on the TSC, been discussed on the TSC call and so forth. So we've been talking about that quite a bit. So hopefully that's not a surprise to you. Okay. I see some more people have joined. All right. So I asked Pavel to give a demo of GraphGraph, which I think is a really, really cool visualizer for ANI. And so I'm going to turn it over to him. Are you ready, Pavel?
Yes.
Okay, great. Let me stop sharing.
Hi, everybody. Do you see my screen?
Yeah, we can see your screen.
Okay. So just to recap, the ANAI data model is constrained by a schema and some edge rules. And basically what GraphGraph should do in the future is it should be a tool which helps you investigate the schema and understand it. And what we did is we did a visualization of that schema as a graph. So, for example, now we have a V12 schema, and what we can do is I'll pick an entity from the schema. Let's say here are all the entities which you can store inside ANAI. So I just take Cloud Region because that one is quite known. And what we see here is we see that we have a Cloud Region who is connected to a vertex called Cloud Regions via an edge called Parent, which has a direction toward the Cloud Region. So it means in the OXM, Cloud Regions is a parent of Cloud Region, and in turn, Cloud Region is a parent to many other entities from the schema, like HPA capabilities, group assignment, and so on. When you click on a node, you see its properties, which are inside the OXM. And when you move forward, basically the properties stop, and there's a list of all the JSON nodes together with the type of a relation toward the node you have correctly selected. So this is one possibility to view the graph. You can extend this graph from the point of view of Cloud Region to more children and parents. So we see here we have Cloud Region, and it has a child called relationship list, and that in turn is a child of other nodes. So we have a possibility to explore the graph where the Cloud Region is a center of the graph, and we can expand based on how many parent and child relationships we want to see. And there's another way to explore the graph, and that is to find all the paths between some two nodes in the schema. Let's say I want to explore all the paths between Cloud Region and the resource. And basically what we see here is a graph which has all the nodes from all the possible paths that are between Cloud Region and allotted resource. So all the paths that have been found are these in the schema, and we can click on any of them. They will be displayed with red dots. So this is the second functionality that we currently support, and then you can of course I have a network policy selected, so I can see its properties and then the vertices to which it is connected. And the last thing is basically an all view, which throws an exception, but it works when I initialize it from scratch. And basically, this is a graph which has a lot of edges and a lot of nodes. It's because it combines the OXM and the edge rules files, where all the ANAI constraints are defined, and basically displays all the relationships that are possible. So we see here we have edge rule edges, which represent the rules from the edge rules. And then we have OXM relationships. It's a parent-child relationship. And basically you can click on some edge and it will display its properties as they are defined in ANAI. And that's basically all. When you hover over the edge, you will see from and to what vertices it connects. There was also a discussion in the previous meeting how exact the visualization should be, because this combines the edge rules and the schema file, the OXM file, but maybe only we should probably have a filter where only the edge rules are displayed or only the relationships, the parent-child relationship from the OXM. So this is an ongoing effort, and we try to now get as much feedback as possible so we know what to change or improve or how people want to use the tool or what would help. So if you have any comments, then yeah, ask.
So I see down there previous 1, 2, 3, next. What exactly is that?
No. Okay, this is like just pagination of the properties. So I have selected an edge rule, and I see the first property is multiplicity. Second one is default edge. Then the description. Then it has other properties, is private edge, contains, and so on, until the third page, where there are the last two properties.
Is there a way to select multiple sources, or can you only show one source?
No, I can only one at a time, unfortunately.
I see.
And it's quite complex, so during the meetings, I try to solve it in an agile way. So I try to install a magnifier, but it doesn't help much because it's generated with a SVG, and apparently the magnifier doesn't work on SVG, so yeah.
Oh, that was interesting.
There's only zooming. Yeah. Yeah, so if you have any comments then, or any questions, or any feature you would like to use, or anything.
So I'm just thinking, suppose an ANI eventually create, say 10 or even like, you know, 3 or 4 PNFs, right? And they would be nodes, each of those instances?
Well, right? This is not the runtime data. This is just the constraints or the schema data. So it does not visualize what is currently stored in the ANAI database. For that, there's another tool called Sparky, I guess. This is just the fixed versions how to model the data. So this is primarily for people who want to know how the data is modeled, or if they want to extend the model, they can explore it and see, okay, there are volumes, and volumes don't have properties, but they're connected to, I don't know what, vServer. So vServer apparently has volume. So they have an easy way how to figure out the relationships in the schema, and they don't have to explore the OXM file, which is quite unreadable.
So this is not a runtime view, but a model view.
No. This is exactly, this is for the, probably I should have said that at the beginning. This is for people who want to model and extend the ANAI model for how to store the data and how to work with the data.
So basically, no, once probably. You create this mm-hmm. model, it kind of gets what, how does this link into ANAI?
So, yes, that's a good question. So basically, in ANAI, you have this API where you want to store the data. And the API has some constraints, and these constraints come from the schema that we see here. So basically, when you want to store a vServer, then it has to be inside of a hierarchy. It has certain parameters, and it has certain children. And if you want to extend or change anything, you have to know the model and what is allowed to be stored in ANAI. And that is in the so-called schema file or OXM file, which is extended in another file which you need to use, and that's an edge rules file. So all the constraints are split into two files, and they are text based. And basically, what this visualization should do is to have a tool where you can easily explore the relationships and the constraints from these two files. And you can easily see that, I don't know, a cloud region or some, you want to model high performance capabilities. Then you take this visualization and you see, okay, the cloud region has HP capabilities. And HP capabilities, if I would extend the graph, they have they are connected to a flavor, to a HP capability, which you can then explore further. And that's how you find out what is the structure of the data in ANAI. So, for example, if you have a new use case and you want to know if there's already something where you can attach the new data, or how or where to best place the data, this tool should help you explore the model. For example, now we see the parents and children of the cloud region, and we have a list of nodes or entities which are connected to it. So, for example, images, flavors, and so on.
Is there any relationship with topology? Sorry, I hear my echo.
Yeah, I'm not sure what topology is. I'm not aware of that concept. So.
Yeah. Oh. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, you're kind of your representation of the resources and the network laid out with what's connected to what, and you know, mm-hmm. It seems like that could be a subset of this.
Well, the topology of the graph, which I display, is basically, it's a mapping, or it reflects the structure, how it's modeled in the text files. And basically the text files are a description how the domain is modeled, and also what the REST services in ANAI allow you to store, and in what hierarchy. So they prescribe that virtual servers are inside of physical servers, and they are inside of a tenant, which is inside of a cloud region, and so on.
Some more detail within some of that.
Yeah, and this is a visual way how to display the data from the file. Because the files, they have hundreds of lines of XML, and you don't see how the data is modeled. So it's very difficult. And this would be a way how to more easily explore the data model. And once you have some new use cases, you could use it to identify where to place the new data or how to change the model to accommodate the new changes.
Okay, and did you use like a 3GPP?
As a technology,
or even like the NRM at all for
I guess NRM is
the network resource model for RAN.
Well, I used. The so-called ingester, that's a tool which processes the, but I'm not sure what you are referring to. I'm not familiar with the acronyms. If you say what exactly it is, I can maybe
I can find a spec number and
no problem.
But it sounds like you've got more than would be within that spec if you've got a cloud representation too. So
yeah, I have all the model of ANAI. So this is like the whole schema like everything, this is all what you, so
and
there is nothing else you can store in AI that isn't here.
And so it's cloud, it's the radio network, the core
it's
network.
Everything.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So yes, it's like 1 million entities, everything is here. Okay. So the whole shebang.
I guess an interesting question is the deployment that you're using. I mean, you know, obviously a particular person who deploys ONAP can choose, you know, the model that's being used, right? That not all ONAP installations will have the exact same.
Yeah, so I know what you mean. So my vision is so that GraphGraph is just a standalone tool, a one file, which you just start locally on your machine. It would not be deployed, or it might or might not be deployed with the regular ONAP deployment. And it would be just a tool you can easily start on your machine. All the current schemas would be available in that tool because they are just files, and you can explore the schema and investigate it without having anything to do with OOM or some deployments. So it should be a very simple tool which allows the modeling people to explore the constraints of ANAI.
So you mentioned a hierarchy, and I see a lot of parent-children relationships. And when I think of modeling and parent-children relationships, I think of a view where you have sort of a pyramid or triangle with the parent at the top and a UML.
Yes, yes, that's true for some of the relationships, like this one where you can see that it's hierarchical. But some other visualizations where there are a lot of files, they lose the hierarchy, so it's everyone is connected to everything. So maybe I'm not sure if I have it here, but I can maybe show the file. So this is one example of an older file, how the constraints look in ANAI. So you basically have a relation ship with some properties. It's connected to some network UUID, network ID. Basically, you have this huge XML file with all the constraints. And if you want to figure out something, you have to understand how all the entities here are connected to each other, because they nest each other. And it's quite hard to figure this out, or you have to know what you are looking for. And basically, this is the one file. I don't have the edge rules file here, but it's a similar type of file where there's a lot of text and a lot of descriptions. And basically, we turned this into this, so you can see what's happening here. You don't see what is connected to what. It's very hard to model or change the model or even understand it.
So visualizing a tremendous amount of data in a model, obviously, is quite an immense task. And to be able to see that visually, I mean, obviously, looking at the text is almost impossible to see what the model would look like.
Yeah, and that's why some of the visualization are as they are, like this one where I combine all the rules, all the hierarchies. But on the previous meeting, there were some suggestions how we can simplify this. But this is the reason why there is no notion of hierarchy or no logical sense. Everything is connected to everything else. Yeah. So this is all from my side. If you have any comments or anything, just reach out to me, or any suggestions. or if you know anybody who would be interested in such a tool, then refer them to me, and maybe they could make use of it.
Great, thank you, Pavel. Any questions?
Yeah.
Any other questions for Pavel?
Okay, thank you for giving me the time on the meeting.
Yeah, thanks. Also, Pavel, I took some screenshots as you were talking of GraphGraph and some descriptions of what the thing is, and I'll send this to you. And maybe if you want to use it to create an offline presentation, you know, there's sort of three modes, right? Where you're viewing a node, and then there's another mode where you're showing source, exploring paths from X to Y. I sort of show that, and then where you're displaying everything. And you might find it useful to send to other people if you, it's very raw because I'm capturing stuff in real time, right? But you can clean it up. Okay.
Okay, right. Thank you very much.
Great, thanks guys. All right, so I thought that was interesting, and I'm sure designers and people will be using that as we move forward. And it's, I think, just useful for you to know that thing exists. All right. So let's see. Next is the milestone for M4 is coming up rapidly, RC0. So RC M4 got pushed out by a week, and that subsequently pushed out RC0. So they've updated the date now to say May 2nd. and I think for the use cases, they should be in focusing on integration and defects and documentation now. And so for use case planning, let's see. For those of you who might not have been on the call week to week, we split off some of the, so there's three pages, three relevant pages for the use cases. Let me just show you all three of them. So the high level one is here, which is all of the major use cases. So scaling, BBS, control loop, general PNF support use case, which is a page I created from Ala's request, 5G use cases, optical service orchestration, change management, CCVPN, HPA, runtime security POC, Kubernetes, cloud-based region support, DAAS, operational domain manager. So now Ala had updated this to say release 6 now, and last two meetings ago, we talked about some of the 5G use cases. So service modeling, which will have impact to the various modeling teams to try to model a 5G service. We presented this at the last DF developers forum, talking about how we would start talking about modeling and how that would tie into the modeling subcommittee's work on trying to define the models for a 5G service and resources. Tin started that, and Borislav Glasman is looking at trying to integrate that with the discussions on network slicing. we've talked to Shankar about the PCI enhancements in R5 or now R6. Bulk PM and FM metadata and dictionary will continue in network slicing. And then again, I just mentioned that I split off also the PNF support page. So so now the use cases for PNF, PN boarding and onboarding is its own separate page. The PNF support, it's also its own separate page, but the PNF pre-onboarding and boarding, net configuration with netconf, PNF plug and play and software upgrade are bundled together, as they're not necessarily tied to 5G. We first explore them in with 5G use cases, but you see each of them have their own pages now. So this is the, these should now be R6, of course. Okay. So each of these pages we talk through and have worked through it in various meetings, and this meeting in the 5G use case 5G use case calls and in the developer forum calls. So there will be, now that El Alto is a maintenance release, we our technical debt reduction release, we have a little bit more time to plan some of these things. But these were the known sort of carryover items from the R4 use cases. So each of these has a similar structure. We had, as a group, talk through and work through a lot of the use cases and stated what were things that got pushed out or couldn't get done. So for example, in plug and play in, again, R6, Frankfurt needs to be updated. So I see Jimmy's on the call, or was on the call, yeah. So Jimmy, I think I put down the that schema change for ANEI for the PNF name and versus PNF ID that Chesla started. So maybe we can try to get that in and take the steps necessary, and maybe we can document the process. So if other people also have a schema change or larger change that they need to get in, there's a process they follow. And I saw that you also presented that at the April, start of April developers forum as well.
Right. So this would be deferred to Frankfurt, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah. So actually, I mean, this is the Frankfurt page, so I don't need to say it's deferred anymore. It's the Frankfurt. So this is the R6 Frankfurt item.
Right. So I'm going to do some sort of background work on this. Probably start socializing it. You know, if this change is going to go in, we need to start talking now, right? Because it's a big deal.
Right.
So I'll make a note of this.
Okay.
Hi, Ben. Excuse me. Have a question. Hi. So in the R4, do we have any work done in R4, or just starting just for planning stage for this plug in and play?
Yeah, so plug and play has a multi-release work with it. So we started, everybody started work on plug and play in R2. I was creating a lot of the plug and play stuff. So I created a page for plug and play with a lot of the other people and team working together for plug and play in R2 and R3. So this page kind of describes all the stuff that happens with plug and play, right? And then near the end of the page, I have a description of its evolution. So we go from R2 to R3, and the initial development was in Beijing. In Casablanca, there was some integration with SO because it was delayed out of Beijing. So some of the first real plug and play work was happening in R3. And then in R4, the main thing that happened was the re-registration use case, which got introduced with the BBS use case team. And Chakra's on the call, I see. So Chakra and others were working that use case with the BBS use case team. There is a recording if you're interested. If you want to listen to Plug and Play, there's a presentation on December 5th of 2018, so you can listen to that. Let me see if I can find it for you. So if you go to here, I'll put this in the chat to everyone. So if you go to this page here, you can scroll down to the use case realization calls. And I tried to title what the main call was about, right? So for example, on December 5th, you see we had gave a presentation of Plug and Play, and you can listen to the basic flow of how Plug and Play works in this in these audio things here. And so Plug and Play is continuing though. So there's basically what's left over from R4, what wasn't done, is the start of what we're going to be thinking about doing in R6. There may be other things we do as well, but the ANA schema thing was probably the biggest and most notable thing that got pushed out of R4. And it has, as Jimmy just noted, has impacts to a number of other components, and it's noted here. So for example, it's a SO impact, there's vid impact, and other associated development that we're tracking as well that's related to the schema change. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. I just basically try to catch up. For the SDC, for the design time, if any work involved for the PNF registration package, was this for distribution to ANAI or just start off for ANAI for the runtime, the Plug and Play?
Oh, so for SDC and design time and Plug and Play, I think probably the best use case to read or learn about that is the PNF pre-onboarding onboarding use case. So if you go to, I had it up.
That's fine. That's fine. Just say the interdependency is if the plug in the play in place, the package in the registries and the distribution in the SDC has to be in place, right?
Right.
Has to be in place first, then during the distribution, then runtime, right? Exactly. Okay.
Yeah. So if you go to this pre-onboarding and boarding page, I think you'll find it pretty useful to learn about that. And we gave also a presentation for that as well, I remember. So, if you go here, this is the pre-onboarding onboarding wiki, and I'm pretty certain there's a pre-onboarding onboarding presentation overview was February 13th. So you can go to here and you can see that. So I see a tool joined.
Yep, I'm here.
You're scheduled for May 15th, I believe. Is that still okay with you?
This kind of coincides with the PMF event, which I'm attending.
Okay.
Could you push me out to 22nd, if that's okay?
Sure, yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
And let me note that in the notes here. Cool. You say I put your name here too, right?
So this is for the use case which I had proposed a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah, so wait a minute. Am I getting something? You proposed, let me look at the sorry. Is it in the use case page? Let me see, sorry. Is it already in the main use case pages of, or no?
Well, I have certainly not inserted, unless you have done it. I did send it to you when I did present it, when Ella asked me to, during the ONS event a month ago.
Right.
If you want, I can put it in here. But basically,
This is the, sorry, I apologize. Can you, what was the title again? I'm getting confused.
This was the IoT type service use case. This was with the University of Surrey using 5G basically to create services on top of 5G.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know how else. I mean, you could call it edge automation or you could call it IoT type, but yeah.
Let me split that off as a secondary thing here. So, okay. All right. Yeah, I remember that. I mentioned that in a previous notes.
Yeah, you had it somewhere. I don't remember where exactly. But
I did. It's I think I put it in here.
Yeah, I think you put it in the 5G bucket somewhere.
Yeah, here. This is it here. So let me just here, and so I put it here, and you can right now. There's no link to anything yet.
I can put it
so
in. Actually,
if you want to put like a create a wiki or something off of it, you can do that.
I'll do that in the next.
Let me see. Couple of days. Let me just tag your name here so you see it. It should, I think, tell you in email if you put the add tag. I think you become aware of it. Okay. All right. Great. Thanks. And let me. Gotten this wrong, sorry. Oops. This was Ramki Krishna doing the edge automation. Okay. All right, let's see, we're starting to run out of time here. So let me think so the platform topics, I think we have some time to do that because of the R5 scope change. So let me push that out for a second. And BBS team, Chakra, did you wanna, is there any update to this? I guess now this is gonna be R6, right? And you, mention, I think the team is looking at change service for full closed loop. Or I don't know. Do you want to say some words about what's happening with BBS? Chakra, are you there? He might be away. All right. And I saw Marge was on the call, but I think she had a conflict, so she dropped already. But she was on the call. So the PM and FM metadata work. So what's happening there is basically in R4, we developed a GUI enhancements to display the onboarded FM metadata, which basically is additional information that you can specify about faults that can come from a PNF and the PM dictionary and PM schema. We're looking to develop a GUI to show that onboarded information, similar to a lot of these viewers and visualizers that are being produced. So and some of that will be defined in the upcoming weeks here. So. Okay. So currently, right now, also there's been meetings with the 3P to kind of align the fault messages, and I know that that there's been a study already done, and they're looking at possible impacts from that. So the pre-onboarding and onboarding, Zoo, for R4, is there anything we need to discuss? Is that in pretty good shape? Let me see.
Yeah, it's in good shape.
Yep. Okay, let me see.
The only thing is
all the requirements are done. Do we need to review the requirements still, or is that?
I think that it's only the pre-onboarding. There's a few tickets not finished yet.
Okay. Because I know we had that whole review, and we had the document that we looked through, and I gave a lot of comments back, and I think we need to put them into the, is it the docs? Be the docs page for the requirements? Are they there?
How to do that? Do you have instruction how to do that?
Yeah. We can talk offline. So there's a new tool that got developed to add requirements that Hadoop had developed. Mm-hmm. So have you used that tool yet?
No.
Okay. We can talk about that offline. So we probably need to get all those we need to use that new tool to add in the stuff. I know that VNF SDK, a lot of work is being done by the development team. I've been involved with that. And they got a lot of this working. I know that 2 and 3 are done, the file checks are done. I think some of the security stuff got pushed out, and the tags, the major tag checks have been done. So, okay.
Yeah. Hey, hey Ben, this is Shankar.
Hey.
Hi. So as always, I have a conflict, so I join in the very last 10 minutes. But I do have an update on the OFPCI use case. We were relying on the WinLab testing lab. And one thing that's happening is there's a delay in everything being available. And so we had a contingency plan. And Swami from Wipro and myself, we were on the integration testing call today in the morning. And the plan is, I think the test cases and the test scripts, they're all ready to proceed, but we were blocked on it being available. So they're switching to Wind River. We just talked to the integration test team. And so the full proof of concept and use case will still happen in WinLab, but there is just to meet the timelines of some specific pairwise testing, the plan is to just do those parts in Wind River, and for at least focusing on DCA policy and OF. Yeah. Just thought I would let you know.
Yeah, thanks.
I think we feel confident that we can meet the timelines.
I know there was you were one of the use cases that had code that still needed to be integrated.
That was done for OS and DCA and policy. And the thing that is not integrated, there were 2 JIRA items in SDNC, but had to be pushed out to.
Because you talked, you mentioned Dan Timoney, you said.
Yeah.
They were pushed out. Yeah.
So that
is that's it pushed, been pushed out to El Alto,
but it.
Or Frankfurt.
Yeah, because no, El Alto. It'll be. Yeah. Well, El Alto is the maintenance
room.
It will catch all these things which were left out because of time.
So
it's still needed for the proof of concept, yeah.
Okay.
But the main changes will to do the integration testing in Wind River. To be able to make progress.
The release schedule, that got turned green, right? Because it was yellow because of that item.
That was green, yeah. That became green. I did that on, that was for M4, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you see that the R, the new R6, the R6, Ella made the new R6 page. And I think maybe.
Yeah. I have not.
The PCI page needs to be updated. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
we will use whatever we had submitted for R5, I think.
So what's interesting is you actually have R5 work and R6 work. Most of the other use cases only have R6 work because of the...
R5 work is essentially just the carryover work.
Yeah.
There are two Jira items that, yeah.
Right.
I'm assuming that if it's ready for R5, we can merge it. Actually, one of them, the code is ready, but it didn't meet specifically Dan's timelines, and it was not essential anyway, because there is one more item that's waiting. Yeah.
Right. So maybe you want to edit this page and just note that there's actually R5 and R6. So
yeah.
What's interesting is that
you can write there are just two Jira items. Yeah.
Yeah. What's different is that this use case has actual R5 and R6 development, whereas most of these only have R6 development. So
is that an issue or?
No, that's fine.
Okay.
I think that's fine. Need to note it in the page.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right. Let's see. So I had met with Melanie and Tracy and some other people talking about modeling and how we harmonize modeling. And you'll see there was a recording from last week's call on that. We had that meeting. So I think that's something that could potentially continue in R5. And that's why I'm bringing it up tomorrow at the call. So won't necessarily just be technical debt reduction, but model development could also happen in that time frame as well.
Yeah, the alignment with ORAN and 5G and 3GPP is going to be very important. Yeah.
So there's a lot of organizations that we're trying to align to, 3GPP, ORAN, and now also a lot of the optical and transport organizations who are also all trying to define similar sorts of concepts and trying to figure out which ONAP will use, I think is interesting. Jimmy, okay. There was a model browser. Is that the thing that Pavel was presenting, the graph?
No, there was there's an interface that I wrote. It's more sort of text-based, like tables that lets you navigate around. I think in terms of like viewing the object types and their edges, it was a little bit more friendly for, really seeing the attributes than Pavel's is. So they may be complementary, I think.
I see.
I could give a demo next time if you want to see it.
Yeah, that would be great. I think that would be great to see that. Well, is there a name to this or?
just model browser.
Okay. Is there, there already exists something in runtime, right? You can see, or there's something similar for runtime stuff, I guess.
Yeah, Sparky.
Okay, right.
But the ANI user interface.
Right, okay. That might be good for people to see too, in case some people don't use ANI all the time. We're at the top of the hour. Thank you, everybody. I hope the Graph Visualizer demo was interesting to you. I thought it was pretty neat. So next time, Jimmy will give us a demo of the model browser. And again, I think the big news was that R5 is now a maintenance release, and that'll have ramifications of what we plan in these upcoming weeks for what we're doing for the use cases. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.